House tax, so please come to order. Good morning, everyone. We did have two bills scheduled this morning. We are only going to be hearing one. Representative Cohenour just wasn't quite ready and asked to be deferred. It's not a great big issue to us. With that, Secretary, please take the roll.
Chairman Lake.
Here. Like I said, we're going to have just the one hearing this morning, and I'll try to get a list of executive actions that we can do tomorrow. Tomorrow we have one bill, and then the executive on House Joint 2, and then we might as well concentrate it all in one day rather than pick a few today, pick a few tomorrow. So we'll just have the one hearing this morning, and then the reappraisal committee. We've got a lot of work to do, and so if you want to go up there and see how they're coming along, they're more than welcome to join with them. I would remind everyone on the committee and everyone in the audience, please turn your cell phones off. And if you plan to testify on a bill, please approach the microphone. After you have signed in, keep the microphone pretty much straight to your in front of you so we can hear you on the audio minutes. If you have a difficult name, if you would spell it for us. With that, we open the hearing on House Bill 381. Representative Miller.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mike Miller, and I'm the representative for House District 84. That includes most of Powell County, with the exception of the city of Deer Lodge, and also covers the North Helena Valley up to the Cascade County line. I bring for your consideration HB 381, a bill that allows for a tax credit for up to $1,000 for unreimbursed medical expenses. These could include the portion of your health insurance that you pay for, or could be a part of your annual deductibles or copays. You may remember a few weeks ago when I brought this committee a bill for long-term care insurance that carried a fiscal note of $660,000. That bill went nowhere, by the way. I figured that fiscal note was quite not large enough to get your attention, so I thought I'd try again with this bill, and a fiscal note 100 times larger, or $66 million. This figure is only about 7.5% of the personal state income tax collections, or about 10% of our stimulus package. Note that I did not sign the fiscal note. This was just an oversight on my part and does not indicate that I do not agree with it. There are some technical concerns on the fiscal note. I would be agreeable to amending the bill to get rid of those if the committee thinks the bill would give the bill a chance of passing. Otherwise, I will not waste Mr. Martin's time and the taxpayers' money preparing amendments. As you can see by the bill and the fiscal note, this bill helps the lower income people the most. They're the people that need the help the most. This tax credit is based on a sliding income scale, much along the lines of the CHIP program, by starting at 180% of the federal poverty level and phasing out at 250%, or about $53,000 for a family of four. It also does not require a taxpayer to itemize deductions to get the tax credit. It is my belief that the government should not be involved in the healthcare business. Here's a quote usually attributed to Ronald Reagan. If the government managed the beaches, there'd be a shortage of sand. That is my fear if the government ever gets in the healthcare business. I do not believe in taking money from one taxpayer and giving it to another. That is why this bill provides a tax credit so the taxpayers can keep more of their own money and pay for their own healthcare needs. I'll stop here and let others talk about the bill. I urge a due pass on HB 81 and reserve the right to close. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Miller. Are there any proponents? House Bill 381. Proponents. Are there any opponents? House Bill 381.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tom Bilodeau, B as in boy, I-L-O-D-E-A-U. My grandma tells me it either means stationary with a watermark on it, or it means note of love. She always preferred the latter. I'm here today on behalf of MEA-MFT to oppose House Bill 381, pretty much for the same reasons as stated previously on House Bill 300. The MEA-MFT has generally opposed any expansion of tax credits or use of tax mechanisms to address universal access to quality health care for all Montanans. We see it as an ineffective and inefficient means of addressing health care needs for our citizens. Tax credits for health care expenses do nothing to control the underlying cost drivers of healthcare themselves. Healthcare costs currently consume about 16% of the national and state gross domestic product. Over the last 20 years, we've watched healthcare costs grow by three times the rate of general inflation. School district budget healthcare costs have doubled since the 1990s, now consuming more than 10% of schools' general fund budget expenditures. That's up by about 50%, or it's up 100%, it's actually doubled over recent years. At the same time, employees' out-of-pocket costs for health care in terms of deductible costs, in terms of premium payment for dependents, and in terms of out-of-pocket limits and co-pays, have nearly tripled. So as employer costs for health care have doubled, employee or worker cost has tripled. Tax expenditures, tax credits, do nothing to address that issue. Do nothing to address the cost of health care charges made in the health care industry and imposed upon consumers. House Bill 381 also imposes what effectively is indeed an unaffordable tax expenditure on the state general fund budget. It does so with no bang for the buck. There is no return on investment for the state of Montana. It does not address the long-term needs of the state's citizens. Additionally, it will not promote access to health care for one single Montanan. Tax credits do not make health care coverage in and of itself available at affordable rates for Montanans. Finally, the bill would make our healthcare system of financing, healthcare finance system, even more inefficient, more complicated, and less equitable. For all those reasons and others, we oppose the bill and would ask for do not pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bilodeau. Are there any further opponents? House Bill 381. Opponents? I have a copy of the form letter from the governor's office, the budget office, I should say, respectfully go on record opposing House Bill 381 for fiscal reasons. To be entered into the record, if anyone would like a copy of that, they can check with the secretary. Are there any further opponents? Are there any informational witnesses? Questions from the committee? Representative Butcher.
For Mr. Bilodeau, since he's the only one here to pick on.
That's Milton Bilodeau.
Good morning, Representative Butcher.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Bilodeau, I guess I'm kind of curious why the unions have taken this flat total opposition to this type of an approach, since obviously you do have some folks that are making some money and are paying taxes that might appreciate the ability to write off some of it. As you pointed out, the triple, I think you said that they tripled their out-of-pocket expenses. Could you kind of explain this apparent conflict in reasoning?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Butcher, yes, I think I can. Our 17,000 members distributed among 280 bargaining units across the state negotiate for their health care benefits. They do have out-of-pocket costs, which are now averaging close to $5,000 per family per year. Their employer contribution is a smaller share of total premium cost than was true just 5 years or 10 years ago. There is significant out-of-pocket cost. What we have discovered, however, over the years, this goes back over 25 years, is that our best means of controlling health care costs for our members statewide is to enroll them in statewide health pools. So that is why we have targeted our energies in moving school employees as well as state employees and local government employees into larger and larger health pools. It is only through those larger health pools that one has an opportunity to negotiate provider rates with hospitals and doctors. It's only through those larger pools that you achieve tax efficiencies, administrative efficiencies for the administration and processing of health care claims. And quite frankly, it's only through those larger pools that one's able to implement wellness programs and other health outcome determiners of the quality of health care provided. We see that as a much more efficient way of providing services, needed health care for our members, than to provide tax credits for a few. We do have health care plans within our school trust. The state of Montana does not have a HSA qualified plan, but our Montana Unified School Trust program does offer HSA high deductible plans, sort of meant to dovetail with these types of tax provisions. They have been attractive to fewer than 4% of our membership. Our membership does not see them as an effective way for them to address their health care needs. They would much rather have us address the health care drivers, the actual costs underneath the system, rather than invest money or time into tax expenditures that are generally available only to a few.
So what I'm gathering from your comments here is this is really more about keeping the power, maintaining power within the union.
Mr. Chairman, I take offense to that, and that's unnecessary in this committee.
I think it's very direct, and
I don't think so.
Representative Konar, I'm following a line of reasoning.
That is just a little on the edge.
To reword that, obviously there's if in fact none of your members of your union wants to take advantage of this, then the fiscal note would be much less. But don't you feel that there are some union members that might like to save a little bit of money? Because obviously you've been working on this for 25 years, and you're, by your own testimony, all that's happened is your cost to your members have continued to skyrocket. So this would be an option, at least for some of the members that may not simply want to stay back and let the union continue fighting over this issue.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Butcher, our costs have actually gone up by a lesser rate than has been true for the general private insured population of the state of Montana. Our members have enjoyed some cost savings relative to what they might have otherwise. Additionally, we will be quite upfront, as we have been for almost 20 years. Our organization is not just interested in the union Montana Unified School Trust Plan. We are also interested in a cost-efficient, affordable health care system for all Montanans. It was for that reason that we supported Insure Montana. It was for that reason that we have supported the CHIPS program. And it's for that reason that we have consistently supported the establishment of statewide single-payer health care.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Barrett.
Mr. Chairman, for Mr. Bilodeau.
Bilodeau, please.
Chairman, Representative Barrett.
Mr. Bilodeau, there seem to be two pieces of this problem. One is, in general, one is cost containment, the other is access. Those are always cited as the two pieces, and I understand that your position on the bill with respect to its inability to, or your understanding of its inability to address cost containment, and your position that that's sort of the fundamental driver. I'm a little less clear on this last point you make about do not provide or promote access. Could you comment a little bit more on why on what you feel the relationship between this bill and access or lack of access is?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Barrett. Yes, 60% of Montanans in the schools and state employment and the private sector receive their health care insurance through an employer-based health care program. You have another 20% roughly who receive insurance through a government-sponsored health care assistance program. You have 20% uninsured. This bill, by providing a tax credit, will not attract very many, if any, people into the insurance market itself. If you look at current health care costs, I can give you an example presently, I think we discussed it previously, of friends of ours. He's 62, his wife is 58, he's been employed as an independent contractor for the state of Montana for as long as I've known him, more than 25 years, consistently employed by the state of Montana, but he's never been a state employee. They've always purchased health care on their own. Their health care premium went on a $10,000 deductible, high deductible health plan. And he had made use of medical savings accounts. His monthly premium went from 14 months ago at $500 a month to $720 a month to $1,100 a month last November. They made the decision that they couldn't afford to be insured, and they've gone uninsured. It's our view that many of the individuals, if not all of the individuals, who are in the situation of uninsured status will not find the hope of a tax credit at the end of the road attractive enough to find the money up front to become insured. As far as tax expenditures themselves, that's the other concern we have. If we're going to spend $60, $70 million a year, we might want to look at alternative programs that don't provide tax credits for a few who may already be insured, but instead drive that money into a system that helps expand actual coverage and health care delivery to many more individuals.
Thank you.
Further questions? Representative Miller, would you care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would care to close. Let me figure out where to start on some of Mr. Bilodeau's issues with this. He says he's negotiating provider rates. That does not reduce health care costs. That just reduces... Well, the actual cost of the procedure is not changed whatsoever. It just reduces the rates that his 17,000 members pay for their health care and does nothing to address the other 950,000 people in the state of Montana. I would suggest that as far as cost containment, agree it does nothing to address that. I have no answer or intent with this bill to try to lower health care costs. My goal here is to put more money into the hands of the people, letting them afford better health care. Up until January 5th of this year, I did not have health insurance and have not had for many years. I have no problem with that. I have the assets to back up if I need an expensive procedure or something. I generally choose not to go to a doctor when I have a cold. I don't care to spend $106 or $110 to walk to the door and get handed a $5 prescription, but they're going. I might go a little more often if I could get a tax credit for that. Like I said, the intent of this bill was not to try to attract people to buy insurance. It's to help those a lot that do not have insurance to be able to afford medical procedures that they currently cannot. And in closing, I would thank you for a good hearing. I'd like to thank Mr. Bilodeau and whoever else didn't show up to testify here. I'll share one more quote from a dead president, this time from a Democrat. At the end of his speech, when he vetoed the Texas seed bill in 1887, Grover Cleveland said, "Though the people support the government should not support the people." I'll leave you with that thought. Urge to pass on HB 81.
Thank you, Representative Miller. This closes the hearing on House Bill 381. Members of the committee, that concludes our work for the day. We have one bill to hear tomorrow morning, and we will be doing executive action, starting with House Joint Resolution 2. And then we will follow right down through the list. If you printed out the sheet, pretty much we'll do House Bill 115, 249, 261, 341, 360, 395, 413, 487, 501, 508, and if we have time, 540. But with that, members of the committee,
Mr. Chairman,
I think we will,
excuse me,
we will
Mr.
start,
Chairman.
Start
Mr. Chairman.
At 9 and Representative Wiseman.
Excuse me. Thank you. I'm sorry. I was being distracted here. Could you go over the first half of that list again?
Okay. Do you have the sheet in front of you?
Yes, sir.
Basically, it's 115, 249, 261, 341, 360, 395, 413. And then on the second page, 487, 501, 508, and 540.
Thank you.
So if anyone has any amendments that they need to offer on any of those bills, keep Jeff up all night so he's ready. With that, members of the committee, we stand adjourned tomorrow morning at 9.